my Crystal Loves Texas family. How are you? I'm sure as you're looking at the screen today, you notice I have a different co-host.
Kim.
It is my sister Kim. It is my sister Kim. And we didn't know this. This happens all the time. I'm not even sure how it happens, but I guess it's because we've been together so long and we just kind of know each other's taste. But we showed up in the exact same color palette today. The exact same color palette.
It's always
late. She's got on orange and pink and I've got on orange and pink. Mm-hmm. But that's, it's a reason for that. And that reason has to do also with our guest who is coming in virtually today. Introduce yourself to us, Miss Rosemary Yeoman.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Rosemary Yeoman, and I'm an RN, and I work in the Breast Diagnostic Clinic at Kelsey Sebo.
That's right. And Miss Rosemary is also our church member and part of the health and wellness team at the Higher Way Church. And that's one of the reasons that we're here today, ladies and gentlemen, because we are bringing to you something that our church has never presented before. It's really kind of difficult to have all the moving parts come together so that we could do this. But this is the first time that we're doing this, but it will not be the last time. Mm-hmm. And Kim, can you tell us a little bit about what that is? What are we excited about?
We're having the Rose Breast Cancer Van at our church.
Screening and diagnostic.
And then when you see that big old pink van, you know what's going on.
You know that van anywhere.
You know the van anywhere. Yes, 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 yes. So we've been working for several months to go ahead and get the van to our church. And what we're trying to do now is have a lot of outreach.
Yes.
In order to get people to come in, get tested, to see exactly what your status is.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, your breast health. So come and get a mammogram.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why we said if we're going to do this, we have to have an expert in that people can, we can field questions to, who can dispel a whole lot of rumors and myths about what it is entailed in screening. Mm-hmm. And that's why we wanted to make sure that we got Miss Rosemary here. Mm-hmm. Because she's gonna help take the fear out of it. And Miss Rosemary, based on what you've told us, there's still a whole lot of fear in the community about being screened.
Yes, it is. And people will wait until they're a lot older than they should be. Screening should start at 40.
Okay.
And the gold standard for diagnosing any type of breast problems,
right,
is a screening mammogram.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You have a screening mammogram starting at 40 and every year thereafter.
Okay. Well, Miss Rosemary, let me ask you this. Are doctors and clinics still recommending that women do self-exams in the shower? Is that still part of a standard that they're using?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They want you to do self-exams. And it just amazes me how many patients, I don't do that.
Wow.
No, they don't. It's recommended that you do self-exams. They'll wait until they have their well woman, and then they'll let the doctor examine.
Right.
Really?
I've heard of some people whose husbands and partners have found
discovered. Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely. I just had a patient a couple of weeks ago said her husband found the lump.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Right. That is something. What is the fear? Miss Rosemary, what is the fear? What are some of the things in your line of work? You are almost a first point of contact. So what is the fear that women seem to be displaying in being checked? Is it the fear of the unknown? Is it the fear that if I check, then something bad will happen?
The fear is that if they check, they might have breast cancer. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, if you don't check and you do have breast cancer, it may be, how do I want to put this? Early detection. That's right. What we want to do. We want to do early detection. So the best way to do that is self-exams. If you feel anything that, you know, if you feel a lump, you know what a lump feels like.
That's right.
You know, take that to your gynecologist or your primary care physician and say, look, I need this check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, Miss Rosemary, I was talking to you about this yesterday, but I remember, because my mother too is a nurse, I remember that from the time that we were maybe 12 years old, mm-hmm. 12 or 13 years old, when they first started recommending that women do the self-exams, she showed us how to do it. She told us exactly how to do that self-exam. And I remember when I was 15 years old, I felt a lump. I felt a lump. And it was a pretty sizable lump. And of course, at 15 years old, I was absolutely, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. So of course, I immediately told my mother, because she made sure that that we weren't so afraid of our own bodies that we would dismiss something that could be serious. So I immediately told her, and she took me into the doctor, who was an internist, a surgeon, and she checked me, and she too felt the lump. And they decided, this was before they were doing
the needle biopsy.
Okay. So they went in and they removed that lump. And remember, now at 15 years old, you're not even finished really developing yet most of the time. But you know, it did not matter. I didn't care. I wanted to make sure that what I was feeling was not something and I had never heard of fibrocystic cysts at that time. When you heard of a lump, you just thought the worst. So when they did the lumpectomy, they removed it, and it came back where it was just a fibrocystic lump. And actually, what happens, and you can tell me if this is correct, sometimes in different women, especially different ethnicities of women, they may be prone to more fibrocystic benign lumps.
Breast tissue may be different.
It may be denser.
It may be
Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that
That's right. And I find that younger patients who have a lump, most of the time those are fibroadenomas. Those are called fibroadenomas.
Yeah.
And they are usually benign. And that happens in a lot of young women.
Mm-hmm.
So now they used to, back, you know, when you were having yours done, they would do it, they would put you to sleep, they would do it in surgery.
Now
the good thing is they can do it with a needle. What they do is they just numb your breast with the same medicine the dentist numbs your mouth with. It's called lidocaine. Uh-huh. And then they insert a needle, they they take the tissue out, and you're done.
Okay.
Now, if it's something that's very fibrous, they may have to do, and it's called an biopsy, where they put you to sleep. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, that would happen in a younger woman, a young girl, mm-hmm. 15, 16, 18, okay. those ages.
Yeah. Okay. But as people get older, then at that point, that's when they should really start, you know, even if they had not yet, they should probably start thinking about, you know, getting a mammogram. I had actually a friend who was in her 30s mm-hmm. when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. So, you know, I guess it depends on family history too.
It does depend on family history. Mm-hmm. And it depends especially if you feel a lump. Mm-hmm. I don't know if your friend felt a lump or mm-hmm. if she had family history. If she, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how young you are. If you feel mm-hmm. a lump, you need to get it checked.
Miss Rosemary, is this true? But before we went on, you were telling us a little bit about how you've seen and how at Kelsey Sebo, you've seen the demographics change a whole lot with the women who were coming in to be screened now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we have a lot of our city is very diverse.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of worldwide people from all over the world.
That's right.
And I found that a lot of we have had a big increase in patients who don't speak English.
Right.
We have a lot of Vietnamese patients. We have a lot of Latin patients that speak only Spanish.
Right.
And I've had interpreters that, you know, I'm like, okay, she speaks what?
Right.
But I could get the interpreter. But yes, I have seen an increase in a pretty big increase in non-English speaking patients over the last, I would say, 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Is that because, do you think that in some other countries, mammograms and diagnostic tests are not stressed as much as they are here in the U.S.?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's not stressed. It may probably not as much as it is here. Mm-hmm. But because I had a patient a couple of days ago, and she was saying that she had her last biopsy in Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, you know, they're doing stuff in other countries. Mm-hmm. But I think we really push it harder than most other countries.
That's right. I think so.
That's right, Miss mm-hmm. Rosemary. And probably our diagnostics are probably are much more cutting edge and state of the art than they are in some countries. And probably many people in certain other countries may not even have access, because, you know, still a lot of countries, only the very wealthy people may have access to certain types of healthcare.
That's right.
Right. And that's right. Because when it just depends on where you are on the economic chain.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I went to South Africa, I was amazed. I went to the hospital. I had the opportunity to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the county hospital.
Okay.
And I was afraid. I was very afraid.
Wow.
But then when I went to the other hospital, I was like, okay, I can move over here and work.
Mm-hmm. Really? What were some of the disparities that you saw?
Oh, I think Miss Rosemary
did you freeze? Yeah. I think she froze for
a
little
bit.
She froze
for a second.
But she might pop back up. But mm-hmm. I could imagine in many third world countries, mm-hmm. it may be probably access.
Yeah,
it's not what it could be. Probably mm-hmm. access is just not what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. And if Miss Rosemary can hear us, mm-hmm. she may have to hang up and then come back in, and I'll mm-hmm. and I'll go ahead and let her in again.
Okay.
But in the meantime, mm-hmm. Kim, tell us a little bit about last weekend mm-hmm. when you got to go out to the Sisters Network 30th annual stroll.
Walk. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Sisters Network 30th annual 5K walk. And I was able to go there, get lots of interviews, speak to a lot of people. I spoke to the lady who was Miss Karen, who was the founder of the Sisters Network.
Yes.
So I got a chance to speak to a lot of people and get their opinions on not only their own experience a lot of times with breast cancer,
right,
but sometimes the experiences of their family members.
Right.
So, you know, it was very interesting. It was a lot of people there. I mean, like, it seemed like it was thousands
of
people.
Yeah,
when
I was looking at that footage, mm-hmm. it looked like it was almost as sizable as the Coleman Run.
Yeah, it was
and,
huge.
And
was
that, huge. That is amazing.
Yes.
Now, we're mm-hmm. getting ready to look. There's Miss Rosemary. She's back.
I'm back.
Okay. Okay, fantastic. But we're getting ready to look and kind of get a glimpse of what you experienced out there, Kim. And when we finish looking at this, you can tell us a little bit about what the experience was like for you, because one thing that we'll notice in this clip is that you actually were, it was interesting, but not only women were present, But there were a whole lot of men out supporting too.
There were a lot of men out supporting their female family members, moms, sisters, wives. So yes, lots of them.
So let's take a look at it, Kim. Let's see what we got here.
Highway Health and Wellness Ministry. A lot of the teams have already gone out, but we're going to keep some of the teams coming back in. The Sisters Network has a lot of information booths. They have information set up. They have screening set up here at the park for people who are interested in getting a mammogram. So it's a wonderful event, and we hope they raise lots of money because they actually do help with funding for mammograms for people.
She was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was stage one, so they were able to find it early, but that's solely because she was diligent about going to get her mammograms every year.
There's so much excitement out here.
So many
people. We have so many of the teams still coming in,
and so many of the energy.
We have somebody.
Rico Davis.
Kevin Robinson.
Larry Big L Thompson.
Great. Gentlemen, can we get a few words about why you're out here and are you supporting the women in your lives for breast cancer research with the Sisters Network? Tell us a little bit about your presence here today.
The reason I am here, I wanted to come out and support our sisters and our queens. I feel like with men supporting women to let them know that they're not by themselves is important to me.
Okay.
Now for myself personally, I lost my mom 6 years ago Friday to cancer. And I'm here in her honor and support everybody.
And we're definitely all together to support the women and just be a big part of it. This is huge for us as well. So we love to be here every year. So.
Great. And would you all encourage all of the women in your lives to get a mammogram?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Definitely. Get a mammogram.
Go down.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your comments.
Right. Hi, I'm Karen Eubanks-Jackson, founder and CEO of Sisters Network, Inc. We are so excited to be here at the park, our 14th annual Stop the Silence Walk. This is our 30th year as a
Well, Kim, tell us a little bit about what that was like going out there. Was the weather pretty good?
Oh, the weather was great. There were a lot of teams who were running in honor of certain people in their lives. Now, that's one thing that I saw. So a lot of teams, and you know, we kind of didn't see it on the video. It's a real short little, you know, video clip. But, you know, they were teams dressed in different little costumes and tutus and just all kind of, you know, fun things. There were a lot of children who were there who were walking with their moms. And, you know, there were just a lot of family members, a lot of support. There were work groups out there who were supporting their coworkers. There were a lot of people. And it, like I said, you really didn't fully get the impact. It had to be thousands of people out there. So the main thing is that they were encouraging women to get a mammogram.
Okay.
The Sisters Network actually is was founded by Miss Karen. We saw her on the video.
Right.
And this is their 30th year in existence. It was actually to encourage African American women to get mammograms. So that was apparently something that she saw a need for because. At that time, 30 years ago, African-American women were lacking in getting diagnosed. And that meant that a lot of Black women, you know, were dying at much, much higher rates than, you know, other women.
Right.
So she was actually, she actually started this 501c3 in order to encourage African-American women to get mammograms get diagnosed, start early, and be able to take control of their health.
And Kim, let me pull up a couple of things because, you know, at our church, we have always really tried to be on the cutting edge of making sure that we got the word out there. And this is just a picture of us around the church during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And one of our good friends, and, you know, we have got so many survivors and yes. family members mm-hmm. of survivors in our church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is very important that people know and understand. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have Miss Rosemary speak to this in a second, mm-hmm. that this is not, if breast cancer is diagnosed early, it is not necessarily the same sentence that it was 30 or 40 years ago. And when I met Miss Rosemary after church, I think it was probably at this event, Miss Rosemary, that we're looking at right here. But when I met you at church and you, I did a really quick little interview with you, but you told me something that was so intriguing about one of your friends. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because that really is something that I believe gives women a lot of hope.
Okay, so I've got several friends who are breast cancer survivors.
Okay.
But the one that comes to mind is she's a young woman. She's probably 50. I was 50.
Okay.
So 50 is young. 50 is young.
That's right.
She felt a lump in her breast. Mm-hmm. And she's one of my Facebook friends.
Okay.
And I found this out on Facebook because she posted something on Facebook about having problems with her breast.
Wow.
And so I commented and said, so what's going on? And she said that she was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer, which is the worst breast cancer that you can get.
Oh my goodness.
As a black woman. It will kill you.
Yes.
So she had triple negative breast cancer. And so I was like, okay, well, I don't know what to say.
Right.
So I said, what are you going to do? She said, well, they're going to do this and they're going to do that.
Right.
So as the months went on, we stayed in contact.
Right.
And seems like she was not, you know, she was getting chemo like three times a week and all of this. And so I prayed for her and I said, I don't know what to tell you. I just have to take it to the altar.
Right.
So on a Sunday while I was at church, she sent me a text message while I was in church.
Okay.
And said that she had, it had metastasized to her colon.
Wow.
And I was just speechless. I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So as time went on, you know, she kept treated and kept getting treated.
Right.
Now she's cancer free.
That wow. is fantastic.
And how long has she been?
That was 3 years ago.
That is really, really amazing. And Miss Rosemary, I think that speaks to the types of you hear of a new and forthcoming breast cancer treatments. It's almost like every 2 months you hear something new.
Yes, you do.
Yes,
you do.
And the types of treatments that are treating cancers that heretofore were not easily treatable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is absolutely amazing. I remember that you told me it was what they would have considered a stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm. And yes, triple negative breast cancer is a stage 4 cancer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she's a cancer survivor from that cancer.
Wow.
She did not lose her or anything. Didn't lose her breast.
She didn't.
But she didn't have a mastectomy.
Wow.
That is amazing.
That really,
so they have very good treatments for breast cancer. You just have to seek it.
Exactly. And you know, Miss Rosemary, I'm gonna talk about this a little bit, because I was given permission to talk about this from the person who this affected. But most of our church members, remember our church member, Chriselle.
Yes, Chriselle Douglas.
Chriselle Douglas. Mm-hmm. We lost Chriselle about 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And
2 months ago. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, and I got my water right here. And Chriselle came on to our podcast last year to talk about mm-hmm. her journey and what she was going through.
Yes.
And she told us, you know, all about it and the treatments that she was having. Mm-hmm. And one thing that she told us is this, and I will never forget, mm-hmm. because it was so intriguing when she said this. She said, I have to confess something. I was not on top of it like I should have. Mm-hmm. She said, I felt something. Something wasn't right, but I didn't jump on it. Mm-hmm. I didn't jump on it.
Yeah, and like a lot of us, Chriselle said that, you know, life happens. You know, her kids were
busy doing kids, things.
You know, that's right. You're getting the kids to the different sports things. You're getting having to go to work every day, and you're doing, you know, just life just kind of comes in, and you just don't have enough time. You keep putting it off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so she said that when she actually finally went to get a mammogram,
mm-hmm.
at that point, it had, you know,
it had metastasized. And mm-hmm. And she said it had gotten to the point that it was painful. And yes. And you know, when it gets to the point that you're having pains and you're having changes and things like that, that is something that really is that you really need to see about. But that was her cautionary tale.
Yes.
And she said that she made sure that her daughter knew and understood that you don't ever put yourself last.
That's right.
You always want to make sure that you prioritize yourself,
right.
because it's going to affect more people than you.
That's
and
right.
And that was her statement that she wanted to make sure that she got across to everyone who was watching. You cannot push something to the side that's that important.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That is absolutely right. So without further ado,
yes,
we're going to talk about getting on the bus.
So Kim, I remember that movie called Get on the Bus.
Yes, yes.
And
yes,
it was about a whole bunch of guys going to Washington, D.C.
Right.
for the Million Man March.
Yeah. Well, this is a little different. We need to have the million women come to the Highway Church. Jones,
let's make
the
sure
Highway
Ms.
Church.
Rosemary can hear us. Can you
yes.
hear us,
can
Ms.
you hear
Rosemary?
Us, Ms. Rosemary?
I think she's frozen again.
Oh.
No. Okay, go ahead, Kim.
Well, yeah, we need to get folks to come out to the Higher Way Church to get a mammogram.
Yes.
This mammogram is
free. Tell us a little bit
free.
About what we're looking at.
All righty. So the Rose Mobile Mammography Screening Van will be at the Higher Way Church May 29th, 2024. And I believe that is a Thursday.
Okay.
It's during the week.
Okay.
So this is going to be 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. So that means that you have to make an appointment. I cannot stress that enough.
Yes.
An appointment has to be made to be able to come to the mobile mammography unit.
But it mm-hmm. is 100% free.
It is free.
Yes.
It is free. Now, to schedule an appointment, you can either, and Crystal is going to have this information
all in the comments.
In the comments, she's going to have the flyer that you're seeing right now. You're able to scan the QR code.
There's a tiny little QR code
yes,
down there, but we'll make sure that that's bigger
yes.
in the comments.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you're able to scan the QR code, or you can go to the website, and that's www.therose.org/mobile, and then the code that you would put in is JMHWC. So JMHWC, Jones Memorial Higher Way Church, JMHWC.
Right.
Now, there are eligibility factors, and that's one thing I want to also stress.
And what does that mean?
Okay, so that means that generally you can't just hop up and say, oh, I just want a mammogram. There's going to be, you know, you have to have some, they're going to, when you call to make the appointment or when you go online and make the appointment, someone from the Rose will contact you back and they will ask you certain questions. Do not let that stop you. They're not, you
it's
know,
just protocol.
Hard nose questions. Protocol. It's just screening questions. If you're a female 35 years or older, okay, you have a physician, doctor's orders, or you do for a mammogram. Some people are like, you know what? I think I'm going to wait for my mammogram until the bus comes. And that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
You do not have any breast symptoms or problems. So this is just your general screening mammogram, just like you get your annual checkup.
That's right.
Same thing. Okay. You're currently not pregnant or nursing.
Okay.
And have not been diagnosed with breast cancer within the past 2 years. So that's going to be the vast majority.
Right.
Of women probably walking around out there right now.
And Kim, let's ask Miss Rosemary this. Miss Rosemary, I've heard so many people say that they don't want to go because they say that it's painful. But I haven't found mammograms to be unusually painful.
Well, you know, some people have a higher tolerance to pain. Now, you know, when they do a mammogram, they do squeeze your breasts.
Yeah,
but I just say bite bullet. You know, it's worth the little discomfort that you're gonna have.
Yeah,
or, yeah.
You know, yes, I know that they squeeze. I have mammograms every year,
right?
Because I tell my patients all the time because they're so apprehensive.
Yeah,
ma'am, I've had 6 breast biopsies, so I know what you're feeling.
Right.
But I have my mammogram every year, and it's worth the little discomfort that you're going to go through.
That's right. And you know what, Miss Rosemary, when you say a little discomfort, you know, we have to kind of put it in perspective.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the kind of thing if people have gone through, let's say, childbirth.
It's not like that.
It's
not like that.
No.
And you know what, Kim? I say this all the time. Men have to have mammograms. We don't want to forget that men have breast cancer.
Yes.
And so if they can have a mammogram and they don't have very much breast tissue, then we can have a mammogram.
So they really got to squeeze theirs.
They really have to squeeze because they don't have a lot of breast tissue.
Right.
So just think of it that way.
Right. And you know, it's over very quickly.
Right.
Mammograms don't take, you know, a long time. You
maybe are 10 or 15 minutes, maybe.
That's probably mainly, you know, getting dressed and undressed. But, you know, it doesn't take a long time. Now, another thing I wanted to say was that, yes, the event is on May 29th. Okay. But the deadline to register for an appointment is May 22nd. So, it is not a walk-up event.
Okay.
You have to call and make an appointment. Like I said, there will be short screening questions that the Rose will call you or contact you with, and they're going to screen you. So we actually have spaces for 27 people.
And that's all. And that's the thing. So it is very, very important for you to go ahead and call. And the thing about it is I've had friends who are in between insurance, who may not have ever had a mammogram before. Mm-hmm. Some people are actually self-employed and they may not have insurance at this time, even though that's kind of a scary, daunting thought, but it's the truth sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when you have an opportunity like this to really set your mind at ease about certain things, or not simply you, but you or your family members. Mm-hmm. You may have already had yours, but you may know someone, you may have a relative who is unable to go and get a mammogram right now. Mm-hmm. And Miss Rosemary, let me ask you this. If someone had to self-pay for a mammogram, how much would that cost? That's not a cheap process.
It's not cheap. It's not cheap. I've had patients to say that they've gotten bills for over $1,000.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So and that is great. I'm glad we came to this point.
Yeah.
Because some people might think, well, oh, I don't have insurance. You know, maybe I'm self-employed. Maybe I'm between jobs. I don't have insurance.
Right.
Now, the Rose has a sponsorship program.
And what
for
is that?
People without insurance.
Okay.
And the sponsorship programs can provide services at no cost to uninsured patients who meet eligibility requirements. And we read what the eligibility requirements are.
And we'll post those too.
We will post those. So patients requesting sponsorship will need to provide household proof of income for 1 month. That's fairly easy to do.
Yeah.
So whether it's, you know, a cancel check or, you know, or something like that, unemployment. I'm just going to say this. Back when I was self-employed, this was quite a few years ago.
Right.
And I absolutely have held myself to my feet to the fire to get a mammogram every year, regardless of whether I was self-employed, whether I was between jobs, whether I was at a job, I still made sure I got a mammogram every year. 1 year I was self-employed and I did not have enough money to self-pay $1,000 for a mammogram. And I went to the Rose.
Really?
And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And when I went to the Rose, it was, you know, lovely, very nice, you know, got my mammogram and everything was good. And it was a great process, a great experience. If you have not, you know, if that is what is keeping you from getting a mammogram, please do not let that stop you. The lack of funds.
Yes.
Do not let that stop you. So yes, I have taken advantage of it myself in the past. So I encourage everyone to be able to do it. Now, let me go ahead. I'm going to give a phone number here.
Yes, please.
Yes. Let's see. We actually have a phone number. We the Higher Way Church actually has its own, you know, everything has its own information for the bus.
That's awesome.
Yes. And let's see. The phone number is, and drum roll, please.
And you may also want to, after you give the phone number, give the address, because we are at a new location.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the new location is where the bus is going to be coming.
Yes.
Coming to.
Yes, it is. The phone number is 281-454. I don't have my glasses on. 464-5136. Again, that is 281-464-5136. Now we're going to make sure we have the phone number, the QR code, the website, everything for you to get in touch with the Rose to make your appointment for the mammogram. Now, the bus is going to be at our new location, our satellite location,
while the church is being worked on,
while the church is being renovated,
renovated.
It is the Higher Way Church at 11503 Martin Luther King Boulevard. The zip is 77048. Now that is near the corner of MLK and Selinsky. So that's in the heart of South Park. So in the heart of South Park, there are a lot of apartments in the area. There, you know, are the Crestmont neighborhood in the area. So we're going to try to get that information for sure to everyone in the surrounding area.
Right.
So that people who may not have a chance to normally be able to get a mammogram can go ahead and make an appointment, come and get a mammogram. And
excuse me,
since Crystal and I are with the Higher Way Health and Wellness Ministry, we're going to actually sweeten the deal a little bit.
Yes.
For everyone who actually comes and completes a mammogram, on that day, May 29th, we're going to have a drawing. You're going to put your name in the hat. We're going to have a drawing for a $50 Visa gift card.
Yes.
So if you go ahead, take that step and come and get the mammogram on the bus on May 29th. Put your name in the hat. We're going to have a drawing for a $50 Visa gift card. Hey, and it just might be you. Way.
HWHW t-shirt.
Highway Health and Yay. Wellness t-shirt. So that way you can let everybody know that you came and you took your health in your hands and you stopped the silence and you got your mammogram.
And before I forget this, there are a couple of other things that I want to throw out at Miss Rosemary. Miss Rosemary, is there a certain age that people should stop getting mammograms?
I'm not certain what the recommendation is.
Yes.
But I have patients that I've called over the last 4 years, and I've talked to them several times, and they're in their late 80s. I have one patient that's 91.
Yeah.
So people are getting their mammograms until.
My mother still gets one every year.
That's right.
Every year. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of in the age range that you talked about, but she has always been 100% on top of that kind of thing because she knows the importance of prevention and early detection.
It's very important. It's very important, no matter what your age, especially if you're active. One of the ladies that's up there, she's in her late 80s. She still works. She works for the bank, and she's one of the banks in Pearland. And whenever I call her, and I almost every year, and she says, "Can you come by for tea?" She's from England. She's an older lady. She has her mammogram every year. So we should do it.
Miss Rosemary, you were telling me yesterday, I want you to say this because, you know, and kind of explain exactly what your job is there at Kelsey Siebel and how you are sometimes the first point of contact and the kind of resistance you meet sometimes. Because what you were telling me yesterday is that you have to be so persistent. And sometimes after people... after you contact them initially, they don't want to pick up the phone again.
They won't answer the phone. So what I do at Kelsey Siebel, this is the only thing that I do, and I'm the only nurse that does it.
Okay.
I call every patient that Kelsey Siebel has over 40 clinics. I call all of the patients for the entire Kelsey Siebel system that needs to have a breast biopsy.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of patients.
Yes.
I get some patients and I call and they won't answer the phone. And I know they know I'm calling because when I call them the first time, I send them an electronic letter that lets them know that I'm calling them and that I have some information for them regarding their breast imaging.
Right.
So sometimes I will call the patient, they'll answer the phone, and then I'll tell them what I'm calling for, and they'll tell me they'll call me back, and I never hear from them again.
Wow.
Sometimes they'll say, "I'll call you back," and when they call me back, they have an excuse. So that's a defense mechanism. They use that. That's denial. Denial. Right.
And that denial can be deadly, Miss Rosemary.
It can be very lethal, especially if they, 90% of these biopsies are not cancer, but there's that 10%.
Say that again. I want people to hear that.
90% of breast biopsies are not cancer.
90%.
90%, wow. But there's that 10%.
That's right.
So we have to, in order to take care of that 10%, we need to do the 100%.
Yes.
But 90% of those of the breast biopsies are not cancer.
Yeah.
And I have so many patients who are resistant. They won't. And I call them 7 or 8 or 9 times. I'm like, okay, I'm tired of calling.
Wow. But,
if you have 20 patients and you call 10 of them 9 times, that's a lot of times.
That's a lot of calling. Yeah.
Yes, it's a lot of calling.
And especially for something that is to their benefit. to their benefit.
Exactly.
Ms. Rosemary, what are some of the ways that women, and I know a lot of people probably ask this, what are some of the ways that women can mitigate their possibility of occurrence of breast cancer? Can you be more mindful of your diet? Can you be more mindful of your weight?
I'm not certain. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with medications that patients take.
Okay.
A lot of lumps, you know, benign lumps especially. Right. The doctors tell them not, you know, cut down on the caffeine. You know, cut down on some of the different types of foods that you eat.
Right.
Cut down on some of the medication. And a lot of patients, after they've had, say, a hysterectomy, for example.
Right.
The OBGYNs will put them on female hormones. And female hormones are, they have a lot to do with patients having benign lumps in their breasts. But a lot of patients don't know that.
I didn't know that they still prescribe the hormones.
They do. They do. I have a lot of patients on hormones.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of patients on hormones.
Now, what about prevention as far as eating a healthy diet, you know, with lots of fruits and vegetables?
Right. That's good for everything. That's good for everything.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is great. That is something that everybody needs to know, because it just doesn't help with your breast health. It helps with diabetes. It helps with high blood pressure. It helps with everything
heart
in
disease,
your life. Heart disease. You
every
know,
system. System.
Everything. Every
right. Right.
Yeah, it does. Okay. So let's see. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and... actually
give that information
I'm
going to
give
time.
The information yes. one more time. I'm going to go back over the screening criteria one more time. Screening criteria, okay? Must be female, 35 years of age or older.
Okay.
Have doctor's orders. You know, they'll give you that little slip that says, you know, this is you need to get a mammogram. So just have that with you. Not have any breast symptoms or problems. This is just screening. So now, if you have breast symptoms or problems, then at that point, what they will do is they will refer you so that you can go ahead and get that information and get checked in a different way.
Okay.
So they will refer you if you have. So in other words, they're not saying just don't call us, just don't come, just don't, you know, just don't.
They have resources.
They're saying they have resources. That way they can refer you to who will best be able to help you. Okay. Not be pregnant or breastfeeding. Not been diagnosed with breast cancer in the last 2 years. Not had a mammogram in the last 12 months. Now, that's very important. I had a church member come up the other day and she said, well, I had my mammogram 2 months ago. Is it too early? Yes. It is. They do not want you to have had a mammogram in the last 12 months. So this is like your annual checkup. This is essentially like your annual checkup for your annual mammogram. This is where you would be coming. Now, you would need to bring ID and an insurance card, if applicable, on mobile day. Yes. So make sure you bring your driver's license. I encounter people every day who
don't have an insurance card, mm-hmm. Would not be applicable.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right. Now, when you call to make the appointment, they're going to tell you. They're going to establish whether you have insurance or not. If you do not have insurance, they have sponsorship programs for patients without insurance.
Yes.
Sponsorship programs can provide services at no cost to uninsured patients who meet eligibility requirements. All patients requesting sponsorship will need to provide household proof of income for 1 month. That is something that's
easy.
That's fairly easy to get.
Yes.
Yes. They would contact any patients requesting sponsorship directly to go over the requirements with them. So they're going to talk to you about it. They also have discounted cash price for patients that are uninsured but do not meet the requirements for sponsorship. So they're not going to be paying that. You're not going to be paying that $1,000.
Yeah.
If you're insured, but you don't, you know, meet the requirements. They have actual, they have a discounted.
Probably a sliding scale.
Yes, a discounted cash price for that. Do not let anything deter you from getting your mammogram.
Yes.
This is something that you need to have. And like I said, to sweeten the deal, the Higher Way Health and Wellness Ministry, HWHW, is going to throw in a $50 gift card for everyone who comes and gets a mammogram. Not everybody's going to get the gift card.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to enter and draw the drawing.
Yes.
For the drawing to get a gift card. So once you finish that mammogram, you put your name in the hat, and we're going to draw at the end of that day for the $50 gift card. So that might be gas for you. That might be some groceries.
Absolutely. That was my gas for me for the whole week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me for 2 weeks.
But, you know, Kim just brought up something, Miss Rosemary, and we're going to be wrapping it up here in about 4 minutes. But Kim brought up something, and I never really thought about this. It's not recommended that people get more than one mammogram a year, or is that something that can be detrimental? Or what if you got that with nothing, then you started to feel something, you know?
Well, okay. So you have your screening mammogram once a year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then say 3 months down the line, you feel something.
Yeah.
You can get another mammogram.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can get another mammogram. And the other thing, the other tool that they use is an ultrasound.
Yes. And how is that different, Mary?
That's a different tool. Usually, if the patient comes and has a mammogram and they ask for further studies, mm-hmm. that would be an ultrasound, a breast ultrasound.
Yeah.
So if they say, no, let's not do a mammogram, we'll do an ultrasound. So if you feel something 3 months, 6 months down the road, then you might need to just get an ultrasound.
Yeah. And that has happened. That has happened. I had another friend who had a mammogram.
Uh-huh.
She kept up with her mammograms.
Right.
But right after she had a mammogram, just a few months later, she felt a lump. She felt something. And she did have to go back and, you know, get another mammogram. And it's good she did, because it, you know, it was something that was cancerous. She caught it early.
Yes.
And, you know, was cured.
Right.
But it's the kind of thing that, you know, you never know what can happen. You never can predict the future.
And
so
also, let me say this. For one of our cousins who did, who was diagnosed, the one who had a very, very strong history of breast cancer in her family, she elected to get a double mastectomy
and reconstructive surgery.
Yes.
That's what she, and from what I understand, sometimes doctors, if it is that strong of a occurrence in your family, they will go ahead and start testing your daughters earlier. And sometimes that is something that's recommended. I've heard of younger women doing that to do what they call, preventative.
Right. It's therapeutic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Therapeutic. And so during Breast Cancer Week, the Sunday that we observed breast cancer,
right.
I don't know if you all saw her, but I brought a friend of mine to church. She's very light complected and she's bald, she's 20 years cancer free. She had both breasts removed. She had really bad breast cancer. She had both breasts removed and she had reconstructive surgery. And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know what, Miss Rosemary, I can say this with the type, you know, reconstructive surgery is not what it was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. With the type of reconstructive surgery they can do now, they can do reconstructive surgery that is so lifelike that many times people, you know, would not be able to visually tell that someone. And I've even seen instances where plastic surgeons, I mean, technology has come so far and medicine has come so far, they're able to preserve a person's nipple.
Right. Right. Yeah. They can take the nipples off. When I worked in surgery, I worked in plastics too. And right. I've done breast reconstruction. What they do is they remove the nipples.
Yeah.
Before they take the breast off. They remove right. the nipples. They put them in ice to preserve them.
Right. Yes.
And then when they do the reconstructive surgery, the nipples back on.
Right.
That's great.
That's right.
And let me just throw this in here. Crystal and I had two cousins who were diagnosed with breast cancer within 2 months of each other.
Right.
One cousin had a very extensive familial history of breast cancer. One cousin did not. Not at all. No one had breast cancer in the family, but they both were diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yes.
And they both were able to ring the bell.
That's
so
right.
So one cousin got her double mastectomy as a preventative measure. One cousin actually got a breast reduction.
Yeah.
But one factor for both of them was that they both said they had wonderful boobs. The boobs look great. They said their boobs were amazing.
Yes.
The lady that I was talking about, the light complected lady with the bald head. When you work in surgery, you have to change clothes and put your scrubs on.
Yes.
And I told her, I said, girl, breast cancer did you well. You didn't have boobs. Now you have boobs.
That's right. They said that they were great. And, you know, so it's not always the kind of thing where it is just, you know, you just don't have anything.
Yeah. There's life after breast cancer.
There is life after breast cancer. Technology has come a long way.
Absolutely.
A long way.
Well, Kim and Ms. Rosemary, I'm looking at the time. We have 3 minutes, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. But Ms. Rosemary Yeoman, I want to thank you so much for coming on and really being our go-to expert and dispelling a whole lot of the falsehoods and fears that people have regarding getting screened, because that's going to be your first step. That's the first step to the rest of your life, making sure that you can weed out what needs to be weeded out so that you can go on and go on with your life. But it's so important that you go ahead and do that. Kim, one more time.
Yes. Before we leave,
quickly,
I'm going to give all of this information for you to be able to call and
quickly
make an appointment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we got to be
okay
at 7:30.
Uh-huh. All right. By May 22nd, that is the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to either call 281-464-5136 or scan the QR code that is going to be on the flyer that we're going to put up on Facebook. Or you're going to go to the website, www.therose.org/mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E, therose.org/mobile. The code is J-M-H-W-C, like Jones Memorial Higher Way Church, J-M-H-W-C. Make an appointment. Come and get your mammogram on the way out. Drop your name in the hat for the drawing, and you may have that $50 gift card.
And like we say every week, thank you, Miss Rosemary. Thank you, Kim, for coming on. We can do it. See you later.